My payola.
Meow.
My payola.
It's a good Kennedy song.
Yep.
It's a great one. Yep.
This is the payola theme. Bitcoining from BitPay BIP1. Mining Bitcoins to tell the people the truth that Clayton Hunt is the king of all Ancapistan. And setting up crypto nodes to announce over the blockchain that insulting Tasty Traps is haram against the NAP. This warms your brain to a Tasty and Toasty 25 kilohertz per second. Or kilohashes per second. This keeps a sin flood of steam it out of your newsfeed. Can you feel it?
I feel it. You obviously feel it. You've been busy successfully mining something cooler than Dogecoin, and you're just drunk on it, aren't you?
Yes, and of course, the BIP fiends are covered by the BIP cotton government license. It covers everything, including BIP chains and whatever, everything. It's do the thing.
Yeah,
so
I got your BIP.
I have a question for the people of Kensington. Since this currency can be used to acquire BIP chains, can I also get a BIP grill for my mouth?
Yeah, so Steve, the other guy, Jim, man, launching a cryptocurrency is not only a lot of work, it's like today was like a million fires flying by my head at all times, like little fires. I dealt them out, I peed on all of them. They're all good. It's all good. So, but it's a nonstop ride, folks. And, so you took some payola, although, kids today don't know what payola is. Back in the 50s or early 60s, there was a scandal where it was found out that like record companies were playing disc jockeys to favor, and people were like, a DJ. Okay. And that's not so, it used to be someone that just played the records, which it still kind of is, my friend
DJ,
Bean once
drop
said
that beat, pay me.
DJ Bipcott. So my friend Bean used to say, he's like a really good musician. He hated like DJ music. He's like, the DJ is still just the kid at the party playing the records like when we were a little kid. It's nothing more than that. But I know there's some skill involved with some of it. But yeah, the DJs, man. So
now they're kind of getting to the point. Now they're just dropping MP3s. Live.
Yeah, they call them press play DJs. That's what it's called. Yeah. So back in the day, there was a scandal that like Congress had to get involved, of course, because like people were taking money to do a service, isn't that ridiculous? But they were like secret about it. So what was determined was that was payola. It's illegal to take money, or more often cocaine, to like give a record extra spins on the radio. But if you say we take money to take these spins on the radio, like if Jim says I got 2 Bitcoin to do that little live drop. Actually, I'm kind of envious because I'm selling ads for Bitcoin and I haven't sold any yet. I've sold some other things, some merch and some buttons and stickers, but you're the first person to sell some ad time for Bitcoin on the free. Congratulations.
I solved the ad problem, the ad pizza.
The ad pizza problem. Explain the pizza problem, Jim.
All right, so the pizza problem was the problem with Bitcoin early on, that everybody was trading all these Bitcoins around and mining them. Bitcoins.
Bit. Speak clear. Now, I got to say, the new ad that's rolling out tonight that you voice the not a guarantee, the disclaimer, that's so much cooler than a 50-word disclaimer crunched into the time of 10 words that you can't understand, which is the equivalent of small print on the radio, except small print you just don't look at. Yet you have to listen to this, but... Yeah,
my voice is pretty kosher in that.
Yeah, it is. But in that, like after I recorded it, you were tripping on mushrooms, I think. No, I'm kidding. But maybe. But so afterwards. I sent it to you and you said it was great. And then later I sent you another version and said, this is even better. Can you tell the difference? You never wrote back. Could you tell the difference?
I don't think I got that email. Did you send it to the right
okay.
one?
Okay. I don't know. Probably sent it to your BIP address on Alpha Centauri. So, we're not high. No, I don't do drugs, but
not yet.
What the difference was, I recorded it and it sounded great, and people hear it tonight, it's the it's the ad for Bitcoin, our new cryptocurrency at BIP.
Well, I never got to explain the pizza problem.
coin.org. hang on, I'll get you there. We'll get you back there. But in that ad, and this is a problem about Bitcoin, is I listened to it and I pictured myself in the in a car driving with some distractions and hearing it on the radio, and it's like I couldn't tell sometimes if I was saying BIP or BIT, and it was me. So almost every time you hear me say BIP coin in there, the BIP was, most of them is one or two times of me saying it pasted in where I said it really clearly.
So it's like, so you, are not you popping Bitcoin, your peas on purpose? But is that what you're
BIP,
doing?
BIP coin. Yes. All right. So when we say pizza problem, the pizza with psychedelic mushrooms problem.
Yeah. So when we say BIP coin, we're popping our peas on purpose. What is T? I don't know. So anyways, with BIT, with a T coin came out, they were trading and mining it, and they didn't,
if nothing else,
spend it for anything.
Everyone's going to get mad at me because if Bitcoin takes off, everyone's going to say, wait, did you say Bitcoin or Bitcoin when someone says one or the other? That's my only goal in this. You know, if we have a little fun, sell some pizza, you know, transact a little bit, get my cat's face out there in the world, and get some other cryptocurrencies to adopt the BIPCOT no gov license, this will be a success. Anything beyond that is gravy, and I'm thinking we're going to go beyond that to Alpha Centauri. But so the pizza problem. Go ahead.
Should have been gravy coin. Anyways, so
you know, there's a DDoS coin now. There's a DDo. Nah, go ahead, man. There's a DDoS coin now sometime. That you by the second hour. There's a coin now, and this is not a joke, called DDoS coin that you mine by DDoSing people, like attacking websites.
Oh, I'm there, dude. So there. Anyways, yeah. People were mining them and trading them, and no one was buying anything, so it didn't have any real tangible value. So someone decided, hey, we need to figure out what we can do in order to make an actual dollar amount to what these things are. And someone said, hey, I'll buy a pizza for you. I think it was like a couple thousand Bitcoins.
Yeah, it was something that now would like buy a mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they bought the guy a pizza, or he traded him the Bitcoin, and then he ordered pizza for
on
him.
His credit card. In a different city, too.
A different city, yeah, over the phone, or internet, or wherever. And ordered him a pizza, and it came to his house, and that was the first transaction with Bitcoin. And that was the pizza problem solved. So we already have the pizza problem solved. You're already selling stickers for them. You haven't sold any yet, have you?
No, I've sold a few stickers and one order of buttons. I sold, like, you know, two orders of stickers, one order of buttons. I mean, this coin's been out for like 48 hours, man. Give it a chance.
Yeah.
But
so I had someone ask me how much for BIPstrong, and I was gonna ask you before I actually gave an answer. I was like, we'll talk about this on the show. So how much did you sell a single sticker for? Because then I can kind of calculate using USD, kind of roughly what I would charge a BIPstrong for. Which is
Value? My valuation on them. Don't ask me, because the one transaction I've done where I sold some Bitcoin, somebody actually like had someone else's Bitcoin and forgot their wallet password and like desperately needed to buy 100 Bitcoin from me. And you know, it's a friend. So I was like, oh, right. And like, he gave me 65 cents worth of Bitcoin. I'm embarrassed to say, but it's worth a lot more than that, because people are spending more than that.
Yeah, so but you haven't sold stickers yet. That was the question that I
asked. No, but here's the thing. That was the first transaction with it that was money for it, something of value. So it's the whole history of Bitcoin compressed. You know, that was the pizza transaction. Like, I way undervalued it because nobody thought it was worth anything yet. And then, like, the next day, we're into, like, the second year of Bitcoin. Bitcoin with Bitcoin.
So how much I got paid to say which by the way, it's absolutely true that Clayton Hunt is the king of all and Capistan.
He owes you three more.
Yeah, he should owe me more.
That's the social contract with Bitcoin.
It was 2.666. So that's my price.
Steve is like, am I going to get to talk? I'm going to just go hang out with my boyfriend if you guys are just going to do this all night, huh?
Well, I was about to say something not appropriate for radio, and then I caught myself because I have BIP control.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
How many hats are you mining?
The pizza problem. You know what the pizza problem with the Silk Road was? It was a mushroom, psychedelic mushroom pizza problem. Most of it, I don't know if you know this. You know about this? The Ross Ulbricht had never done drugs. He was not a druggie, and I think he's a Christian. He was just like a principled libertarian who was a, you know, cryptographic genius, and well, sort of. But You know, and if he'd been using Bitcoin instead of Bitcoin, we would not know his name.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of a hero now and a martyr, but I think he'd much rather no one knew his name and he was still quietly doing business. But he didn't have anything to sell because he wasn't like, you know, wasn't a druggie and didn't have druggie friends or anything. So he like ordered some magic mushroom spores online when he started the Silk Road, before he started it, and grew like a garbage bag full of them. And that was the first thing offered to jumpstart the Silk Road.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's none of my business though. I'm only that's doing legal transactions business. Yeah.
I don't think there's any drug trades for Bitcoin.
I actually turned down, how do you know, there are transactions happening that are people we don't know. We can see it on the blockchain, but we can't see from who to who or how much. But someone actually offered me, I turned down Bitcoin for an ad. Somebody wanted to put an ad on for their podcast. We didn't really talk price, but, you know, I basically said it was something about like hours of mining based on his hash rate. You know, I didn't give an amount to it, but it was like, but he wanted to buy an ad that was basically like our fake ads. And it was really funny, but it was like a fake ad for a fake Silk Road site. And I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to like launch my dark coin and then sell ads for it and play the ad for like something that sounds like you're really advertising. I mean, it was really blatant. It was like, we have PCP, mescaline, rocket powered grenades. You know, it's just like, no, I'm not pretending
publicity though.
I'm not pretending to sell assassinations. What if I got killed by the SWAT team?
What was the name of the market?
It would go
was
to the moon.
The mall from Alongside Night.
I didn't see you come in there, Steve. You have something to say? Go ahead. I'm done. I'm gonna go work. I'm gonna go build the blockchain. I'm busy. Too busy building the block. Oh, that's the name of the show tonight. Is too busy building the blockchain to do talk radio. But go ahead, Steve. You got a joke. I feel it. You got a bunch of them. I'll just shut up.
Beautiful.
Now. I'm going to mute my mic. I'm muting
my mic. I believe with the new blockchain space on the bingo board that you may have actually taken up two spaces on the board with just one show title, which has got to be some
nice
new record. Yeah. But thank you and your lung for your blockchain services. And I want to announce that I am opening the first ever libertarian events-based sports book on that will accept only Bitcoin, and there will be details on how to bet on things when we return.
Oink. Oink, oink.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
So speaking of stickers, tell me about the sticker problem. Libertarianism.
So there's not really a problem so much anymore, because apparently it just takes 65 cents worth of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, that's T as in Thomas. For 65 cents worth of Bitcoin, you can buy an ample number for a limited time. I don't know how much the market will soar by then. But as of right now, you can, for 65 cents worth of Bitcoin, you can buy yourself some Bitcoin that is easily exchangeable for stickers. That might have been a low window of availability there, so to speak. But
so to speak,
that so to speak, but it was definitely doable. And I'm here on the show tonight to announce the new formation of my new sports book, as yet unnamed, but I would like to get a good, fun name, similar to Liftertarians. That was an act of divine inspiration. The new weightlifting group, for those of you who are interested, is called Liftertarians. It's on Facebook. It's me and Lisa DeLascio that run it. We don't take any crap. If you're like a jerk or like easily triggered or whatever, you're out. If your memes aren't dank, you're out. If you're fat and lazy, you can stay, but you can't be annoying about it, and you can't discourage people who actually are working out.
Do you even lift, bro?
Do you even Mises, bro? and that's definitely doable. Liftertarians, but my sports book needs a name. So if you can think of one, hit me up on the old Twitter, Miller Twice. But how my sports book is going to work, it's going to be the world's first libertarian events-based sports book, where there's going to be a bunch of propositions, and then you can bet on either the yes or the no. So, for example, will Gary Johnson be in the debates this fall?
I got all my money on no.
Yeah, so like you could get no, and that you'd probably have to pay, like, the chalk would probably be about 300 to 400 on that, so you'd have to bet like 345 Bitcoin in order to win 100 Bitcoin, whereas the yes would probably be a 250 underdog. So if you bet $100 BIP on Johnson being in the debates, and then the debate commission smiles upon him and says, yes, your brand of statism is wonderful, come be in our debates, then you win a cool 250 BIP. Not too bad. Will Adam Kokesh be arrested again by December 31st? A lot of these have an end date of December 31st.
Now, see, I can totally get into this. Like, every time I get into, like, sports betting, I say light too much. Every time I get into sports betting,
I say jaunt too much.
I just can't comprehend all of that information. There's just too much information. Who is going to be out this season? Who's going to be in this season? How much effect does that take on them? Like, I don't know all this stuff. I can guess with some degree of accuracy whether or not Kokesh is going to go to jail next month. I can. I'm going to say no for a month, year.
You realize the government 50-50. Is the reason the sports gambling is so needlessly complex, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a bunch of regulations about how it has to be, really arbitrary regulations about how, you know, everything has to be on the field of play. You can't bet on, you know, things that are off the field of play. So there's, you know, will X happen on the sideline? You can't bet that in Vegas, for example, but you can bet it on some of these offshore books. The point total being a big thing. So in every game, there's a point total, and it's called the over-under. That's how it's colloquially referred. And it's the total of the total runs or points for both teams that day. That's kind of complex to explain to noobs, as they're known. But that came about because it was something to bet on that regulators would bless. Versus how many runs will X team score? That was a little, you know, that wasn't as pleasing to regulators. So, yeah, a lot of the reasons sports gambling is complex, and daily fantasy is even worse. Daily fantasy is legal in all 50 states because it got a special blessing from Congress to run daily fantasy, and it's basically like normal fantasy sports, except it goes, as the name suggests, for only one day.
How can that be? I mean, like, the government's not involved in that. Like, wouldn't
they're getting
cats lay with dogs and the sky fall and all that stuff? I mean, clearly government's not involved. Well, I mean, you just can't let things go unregulated.
Apparently, daily fantasy, if you lose your house to daily fantasy, that won't be as morally ruinous to you as if you lose your house, I don't know, betting on blackjack or betting the over on the Cincinnati Reds, which is a great idea because they have an awful bullpen. But yeah. So, libertarian events-based sports book, as yet unnamed, to be opening soon on the old Bipcot wire. We just got ourselves a storefront. That's a storefront, not a storm front, at the mall in a long side night.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, I think blimp coin will go over like a Led Zeppelin. Just saying.
Oh man. During the break we were talking about alternate names for cryptocurrencies. For the cryptocurrency Bipcoin. And I noted that as a usage, John, for lack of a better term.
John,
there's a John in my boot. Oh my god, if there were a Philly only cryptocurrency called John Coin, I would literally accept rent in Kensington in John Coin. Get on it, developers. Eddie Hoodle. You say Bipcoin. I when I'm saying an amount, say 50 Bip. I don't say coin at the end. I just say Bip because it's a more of a differentiator, and it sounds clearer just as regular old BIP. So
yeah, it's way less confusing. I kind of do that too. That's why I said I got paid 2.666 BIPs. No one gets confused by that. If I say Bitcoin then
on the other hand, did you say BIP or BIP? I do find that mildly triggering, though. You know that as an artist for Bernie, I, more than most fiends, get triggered on this show. And now I'm a little bit triggered, and I'm not going to lie, and I'm going to tell you why. You've triggered my sumo sexuality. You call them BIPs, and that rhymes with zips, which is a Korean War era slur against Asian folk.
Wow.
And, yeah. So, based on Cockney rhymey triggering, you have triggered me, and I will accept amends in the form of Bipcoin.
Okay, so, I'll give you one squitten. It's going to cost me like 100 squittens to send it to you, but you'll get one squitten, which is 1000000001, right? Is it? I think there's actually more zeros, but I'm going to be a little bit nice. I'll give you 100 times more.
If you were to take the amount of time that you just spent saying the word zero and sell that as ad space, you would get so many more squittens.
Oh yeah, soon.
That's what you should have done. See, eventually every word we say on this show is going to be like NASCAR, where like everything is sponsored by everybody, and yeah. Oh hey, Trigger Weens, brought to you by Agorist Hosting. Well, it already is, but they like. I think they might actually pay us in legit something or another. I'm Steve Miller, Anarchy Ball, brought to you by Bad Audio. Over to you, Jim Jesus, brought to you by Dr. Pepper.
I think my name is Jim Freedom Line Jesus, brought to you by Bitcoin, Bipcoin.org.
I was just hoping that we would get some sponsors or some people or some firms using Bipcoin that do not have the words voluntarist, freedom, liberty, or anarchy at any point in their name. not that I don't love them. Agorist Hosting, you my boy. Lisa Delasho, nutrition advocate, you know I love you, but
welcome to the Freedom Fiends, guys.
Yeah,
welcome we'll be here all week.
Yeah, but yeah, it would be really nice if we could get, you know,
Lulberts
J and D floor covering or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. So not just firms that deal in opinions.
Yeah, everybody wants to be like the libertarian this and the freedom that and the anarchist this, and
it's not, I was that just big like of a pool of people.
Yeah, that's why I went with Lulberts, because it says it sort of, not really, but everybody can kind of be like, oh, this is interesting, Lulberts. What does that mean? Great, you don't know what that means. Now you have to listen to find out, because I'm not going to tell you.
I know non-libertarians who listen to and legitimately enjoy the Lulberts. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've actually had that people
crossover who are, appeal fire, son.
Yeah, I have some straight up communists who listen to my show, and for the life of me, I don't know why they like me. I'm very hostile to them.
What sort of communists are we talking about? Because after my workplace got red dawned by a bunch of Avakianites last month, I'm very interested in the nuances of different kind of pinkos. So what sort of reds are you talking about here, Jim?
All flavors of red. I mean, you have watermelons, you know, green on the outside, red on the inside. I've had watermelons. I've had
watermelons. That's gorgeous. I've never heard that in my life.
Wow. I used to be a watermelon. I can't believe you didn't know that. Anyways, I've had just straight up like, oh, you know, socialism works in Denmark types. I've had the straight out commie people with Bolshevik in their name. No Maoist yet. That's going to be my crowning achievement. I have alt-righters, which is basically communism. You know, communism, which pretends they hate gays, but really they like anime and gay anime porn. And all kinds of different flavors, all of them. I have all of the flavors except Maoism. So as soon as I get Maoism, that's going to be like, okay, that was the final piece of the puzzle. Now everybody likes me.
Everybody likes me except the Maoists.
Yeah.
Also, the Maoists don't hungry. Like me.
Please donate. You can donate Bitcoin to B, lowercase b,
did you,
lowercase I, lowercase p. We're going on for 86 characters, guys.
You see, this is space, more space you could be selling. Do you have a lot of Russian communists that like your show, or are they Stalin?
These puns kill me every time. Every time.
But no, do you
I know that I know Stalin, two Russians right? That like the Freedom Fiends. Hi, Rocks. Huh?
Well, there are no gays in Russia. But so they're probably not ANCAPs. But no, I was asking, do you have any Facebook friends with Stalin in their name? I don't. I'm that's one you never see.
No.
Nobody wants to claim Stalin.
Yeah, well, they were going to do it, but they were Stalin.
I've got a couple people who have Hitler as their profile picture. That's becoming a thing with alt-right folks in recent days, is you get yourself a fake name, Oi McVeigh, whatever. That was a literal person that I just blocked recently.
I bet the alt-right is,
and it was
as terrible as they are, they're as terrible as they are funny. They are.
And it was one of those deals where it was like the sixth or seventh or 14th sock account of this person, and I was like, yo, you know, you've got a goodly number of other sock accounts that you can use for to troll me and to tell me how ugly my child relatives are and express your belief. Because that's what's annoying, is, you know, you've got so much courage of your beliefs that you are going to say them publicly, not even really publicly, but on social media, from an account with a fake name that doesn't feature your face, that you have absolutely zero stake in. That's
bravery.
That's bravery right
there. That's true bravery right there.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell a woman she's ugly because she's a minority. And that that's the height of comic wit.
Yeah. Now, sometimes it can be really funny. Like the whole, what is it? The I'm not going to say their thing, but .biz. I think you know who I'm talking about. Those people, they can be hilarious with their parodies and stuff. But then you actually like read their commentary on the website.
Over the top too.
Yeah.
Like Yeah, and the same tropes get repeated over and over and over again, which reminds me, I don't believe in Abraham Lincoln, everybody.
Ovens, physical removal.
Yeah.
Ad infinitum. That's the word I'm looking. Not ad hominem. Ad infinitum.
You're using the wrong logical fallacy. Oh, man.
What's the fallacy for using the wrong logical fallacy?
Using the fallacy fallacy.
Actually, the fallacy is actually a fallacy. It's where you say that using a logical fallacy means that you're... argument is wrong, which you can say like, oh, the sky is blue because your face is ugly. Well, yeah, like it's true, but it does. But just me using that argument, you can't say, ah, that's an ad hominem. Therefore, your conclusion is wrong. It's like, no, you're right, just with the wrong reasoning. So that's a fallacy. So it would have to be another name. It would have to be like the wrong fallacy.
Another sock account.
Create another sock account.
I'm gonna have one sock account per logical fallacy. They're making it harder to create these sock accounts, though. I preferred the golden age of Facebook, where anybody could just have any name they wanted, and you just roll with it for a while. And you know, people didn't have 60 sock accounts. You had like maybe one or two, and that was the good old days. L Frog is a local Delaware comedian. Frog, if you're listening to this, I bless your grind. But Frog did this amazing prank on the situation from Jersey Shore. Do you remember Jersey Shore?
I remember Acapulco Shore.
So
where Jeff Bearwood got punched. I know that show.
He got punched. Yeah. Well, it was Jersey Shore was basically the same thing, except the kids were younger and more attractive.
And American.
Yeah.
And they spoke American.
And they did the Jim Tanning Laundry, GTL. And there was this guy called The Situation, and L Frog started a Facebook group called The Situation Fan Page, and it got like close to 1 million followers. And as soon as it hit the 1 million mark, he changed the name of the group to The Situation Is Gay, all caps. And Drudge Report ran a "Is the Situation Gay?" Facebook group says so. And next thing he knows, he's on the phone with The Situation's agent. Next thing you know, the agent hands the phone to The Situation, who curses him out over the phone. "Yo, man, I got family. They're going to find you. Like, I got a Delaware area code, man. I could be there in 25 minutes. I'm going to be there. I'm going to whoop the blah, blah, blah out of you," et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, he really got out of The Situation's skin.
Yep, The Situation.
Yeah, Jersey Shore. These shows, like, they have a little bump, and then they're just gone forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when that was a thing, and Snooki was fat. I remember that. Those were the good old days. But, yeah, like, it's hard to make sock puppets now. Like, I didn't even have a sock puppet. It was, like, my legitimate account, my Jim Jesus account. And then they made me change my name. How do they know that my last name really isn't Jesus? How did they know that? I really need to know. They couldn't find out to my sister. My sister could
it's
be married.
It's an algorithm.
Yeah. How could... Yeah. I mean, my name really could have been Jim Jesus. But, you know, they decided to double down on my white skin and say that it's not true. And they wouldn't let me prove it anyway. They didn't do... You know, sometimes they'll say, like, "Show me your ID." They didn't even do that with me. I would have had my name legally changed for that. But, yeah, no, I can't. Hashtag first world problems.
Yeah. If enough of us change our last name to Freeman, the state will be overrun by paperwork and it will have to collapse.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, Bip Strong bracelets, Bip Cut stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BipCut. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BipCut.org. That's BipCut.org.
You do now.
Meow, meow. You do meow, meow, meow. We do now, meow, meow.
So because of your sports betting thing, I'm going to learn what how to say the last names of U.S. Olympic swimmers, right?
Just one. Robbed. The one that's been in the news for the past week now. That
Lochet, is it Lochet? Lochet?
It is not Lochet. It is not Lochet. L-O-C-H-E.
There's a T in it.
There's a T, but it's German. So it's Lochte.
Lochte.
Yeah,
it does not like look like a lock D.
Well, like lock is like Loch Ness. It's L O C H, and then T like T he he, T Lochte, Ryan Lochte. Future reality star.
I don't know how to German
and improv and
I speak American
and recovery patient. So coming soon to a Kensington near you now that he lost all of his sponsorship deals. But him losing his sponsorship deals was in the news today. But the huge meme news today, and those of you who are friends with me on the Book of Feces know that my job on there is meme critic for the Freedom Fiends. I, as part of my union duties, I'm the chief meme critic for this show. And as such, I would be a poor meme ombudsman if I didn't tell you about what happened in Cincinnati, my home state of Ohio today.
Do you also have the best teeth in the game as a meme reviewer?
Yes. Know okay. Your meme ain't got anything on me. It's been, this is a story from Up Rocks. It's hard to believe it's been nearly 3 months since the world lost Harambe, the gorilla most people were previously unaware existed until the fateful day a small child fell into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo, and zookeepers were forced to make the difficult decision to shoot and kill Harambe.
Harambe, not Harambe. Just,
yeah,
you know, you're not your haram girlfriend, okay?
And it's not Haramp. It's Harambe. So Harambe apparently just rolls off Jim Jesus' tongue, but Lochte is elusive. That notwithstanding, after the death of Harambe,
my girl's very haram. My bae is very haram.
My bae so haram. The public went through it went through an interesting cycle of grief. The first stage was grief and outrage at the zoo, with many calling for the boy's parents to be criminally charged. Then people moved on to memorializing the strained gorilla. At some point, however, the tributes turned into memes, jokes, and petitions, such as this one to change the name of the Cincinnati Bengals to the Cincinnati Harambes. As images began popping up of Harambe sitting on a cloud in heaven with a halo over his head, sometimes accompanied by the Cecil the Lion. Side note, there was also a great Kimbo Slice versus Muhammad Ali fight in heaven, refereed by Harambe. That would have been great. What is it about a
beloved? Oh, I need to die and get tickets to that thing.
What is it about a beloved?
How many bips is that?
A beloved, not deloved, a beloved deceased gorilla that many people find so funny. Even taking the fickle attention span of the internet and people in general into consideration, The Independent reports that searches for Harambe are this is the surprising part to me. The Independent reports that searches for Harambe are still about the same as they were the first week of June when the story initially broke. So via memes, Harambe is still on the tips of everyone's tongue. And
chock-a-block. It's everyone's just crammed full of things and people. It's chock-a-block.
Yeah.
Like Harambe.
Yeah. What? You got your D out for Harambe?
Do you know what? I don't know what that is. I know it's something that died, but do you know what chock-a-block means, Jim Jesus?
Does this have to do with Harambe?
No, I'm interrupting. Harambe. This is furries. So, my spell check thinks on my out-of-date email, thinks that email software that still works but hasn't been updated in a while, thinks that the word blockchain, it tries to correct it to chock-a-block. And I looked it up. I'm like, I think that means everything. And it does. It's like,
Are you? Do you want to make money in the fast mining world of mining Bitcoin? Well, you'll be chock-a-block full of fun.
It's like that kind of word, you know, like from
you'll
back
be chock-a-block full of fun.
Chock-a-block. Yeah.
Chock-a-block full of
chock-a-block
fun.
Chock-a-block chain. Yeah.
All it's right. fantastic.
So there's this.
See,
get
it on the ground floor now. I used to have a chalkboard, and then my kids would chalk block me. Anyway, so the director of the Cincinnati Zoo said, "We are not amused
anywho
by the memes petitions about Harambe." At first, they had good intentions, but then the goofuses of the internet hopped on the Harambe train for their jollies, and it has gotten out of control. Bless him. We'll be back with more Harambe on the second hour.
That's Harambe, not Harambe.
I hate all the gorillas I see from Harambe to Harambe.
Having problems with the mining pool, but you can solo mine right now. So go solo mine some Bitcoin. No, you can, right? Not you during the show.
Yeah.
That mining pool, and the guy's asleep.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Sorry, I didn't see you come in there, radio audience. Steve, go ahead.
This is the Trigger Weeds broadcasting from BipChain 2A, a mile above Federal Reserve level. We alter your locus aurelius by forming your synapses with rejuvenative radio wave. Everything you hear on the BipChain block is covered by a BipCot, no government license. This allows reuse by anybody except governments or government agents. The Freedom Fiends remind you that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. That Hillary Clinton is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks. That Donald Trump is a liar, a socialist, and his hair smells like well bacon. Done burned steak. And also Gary Johnson is a liar and a socialist.
A fine steak that's been burnt. A Trump
Gary
steak.
Johnson,
didn't he make steaks?
Gary Johnson is a liar, a socialist, and his ASICs stink.
By the way, my mix and count is too big.
Go down to one. It'll change.
Wait, you're so BIP rich that your account is too fat to accommodate any more BIP coins?
Yeah, that's it.
That's one of the most ghetto fabulous things I've ever heard on this show. I'm not even kidding.
I know.
Man, yeah, child, I'm so rich.
I have an announcement here. I'm BIP rich, baby. Hey, baby.
What? I'm BIP rich.
Hey, do they say this in Kensington? Hey, baby, can I go? Do they say that when they want to sleep with a strange girl they don't know?
Nope.
Some strange. That was a DC thing from the 90s then. Hey, baby, can I go?
Well, yeah, you'd say it's your interns at the White House. Am I right?
No.
All right, so I sent you one BIP.
Okay, yeah, just give me some payola to play something. I do have an announcement. Don't take the brown acid BIPs. No, people should be solo mining for the night, not pool mining, because the guy that runs the pool, okay, he means well, and he's smart, but he's got a million projects. We're not paying him to do the pool. He just did it as a favor. He's never done a Cryptonote pool before, Cryptonote currency kind of pool. And I think he screwed something up, because it's the blockchain is reporting different numbers than what everyone else's wallets are. And I had my boys look at it, Brian and Derek, my smarter than me boys. Oh, I want to say, if I implied last night that they're not funny, they're also funny. I was saying most programmers aren't funny, but no, they have.
That's true. I will stand by.
Yeah,
that statement, because yeah, I've talked
so
goodly number of
Derek's cool people. By
so
the way,
solo mine tonight until further notice. Then you can go back to the pool mining. The guys. It's just
El solo mino.
So you got some. You're going to be taking BIP for Libertarian Sportsbook, Steve. Before we start playing music and and it's no Steve all the time. No, you'll get to talk. But tell us what your libertarian sports book, what sporting events you're going to take book, so, BIP book.
As mentioned in the first hour, it's going to be primarily a proposition-based market. So in this list, you'll see a couple things that would qualify as lines, such as Nick Hazelton, Total Yaks on Farm. That one will be line-based, so it'll be minus one. No, it'll be plus one toward the end of the year, because he's talking about getting one additional yak. So that's factored into the line. So you'd be betting on him getting more than that, just that one yak on that particular line. But most of them are pretty straightforward yes or no type questions.
I like the yak book.
Yak book.
That should be the name of the yakbook.com. Get it right now, Jim, for him while he's talking.
So,
no one steals it.
Will Adam Kokesh be arrested again before the end of the year? That it's... minus 145 on no, and a plus 105 on yes.
Well, he's the kind of guy that if he doesn't get arrested, people are going to start to think he's a Fed, you know? Like, getting arrested is what he does. Part of it.
Yeah, well, it's part of his shtick.
So, I got an event for you here, Steve. The 100-yard spot the Fed.
Well, you'd have to have an organized competition, and I would need a breakdown on every single player. Now, fantasy, who's a Fed, would work a lot better.
There you go. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And
my fantasies are going crazy right now.
Before I apply my skills practically into opening the BIP book, I was thinking about founding a fantasy celebritarians league where you get points for annoying Facebook posts. You get points for intentionally getting arrested, raiding your defense fund, etc.
But I like it because I'm not a celebritarian. I'm below the threshold for payout to be a celebritarian.
Will Ron Paul still be alive on December 31st, 2016? Oh, wow.
Bernie,
yes,
Bernie too. And it, you know, like, you know, yes. Over under,
well,
on Bernie.
Okay.
And
the main reason I made this line is because I feel that a good fair line for this would be minus 420 on the no, and I needed the Ron Paul 420 blaze it. So, and that's it, how you put that. That's half. How you put that bet in, by the way. You say, give me a Ron Paul live 420 blaze it, and for you give me 420 Bitcoins, and then by God, on New Year's you'll get a cool fresh 100 Bitcoin back on your bet when Ron Paul survives the year.
Wow.
Here's an interesting one. At any point before or on December 31st, 2015, will Steemit be worth less than Bitcoin?
Yes.
Yeah, and
it's going to be already less than it is now. So,
yes, minus 255. No, plus 140. Here's a line-based one. Number of stations the Freedom Fiends are on: minus 2.5, minus 125, plus 2.5, minus 140. So you'd be betting on us getting kicked off of at least three more stations before the end of the year there. Will Gary Johnson 10% of the vote in the November election? Minus 150 on the yes, plus 105 on the no. Will Ross Ulbricht be freed from prison plus 950 by the end of the year? The aforementioned Hazelton yak line, that's plus one at minus 154. People that actually have a gambling addiction understand these numbers that I'm throwing out. They understand that a minus number means you have to bet that much in order to win 100 BIP. And if it's a plus number, 100 BIP wins you X amount. So Ross Ulbricht is a long shot because you get almost 1,000 BIP if he escapes. And the maximum BIP amount that you're allowed to bet right now is 100 on any of them. I'm going with low limits until I get the hang of these bookmaking these, although I've got years of compulsive sports gambling experience behind me. I'm pretty good at predicting things as well, so I hope to provide a rich, lively line for the people who like to bet on fringe political ideology events with fake, not a fake, because it's a legitimate cryptocurrency, but with a like niche cryptocurrency. Try to bridge that gap you know, I'm providing a service here.
And if you make your bet today, you'll get a free brochure, "When the Fun Is Over" by the Gambling Addiction Hotline, right?
Yeah, and if you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER and tell them that state speech is hate speech.
This is what Jim paid me a bip to play on the radio. Yeah.
Is this a drag queen?
No, it's the residents. Could be. They wear eyeballs on their head.
I have two of them on my head. Ravi Shankar.
No one knows exactly who she was.
I got your bip, Jim. Thanks.
Yeah. That was a fast confirm.
I can take, well, no, it's unconfirmed, but it's coming in. I could take Bip to play crazy music all night long, but so I got some music.
That was for 1 minute, so it was one that bip was per one, yeah, per minute. Yeah.
One bip per minute. That's my bip fee, folks. For I'll play anything on the radio once for a bip a minute. So
as long as there's no cussing or fake ads for drug sites.
Yeah, yeah. So here's some music.
More restrictions to come.
I'm gonna have to ride the fader on this one, but this is a band I was in called the Rolling Scabs. Back in, probably 88, 89. So basically, here's the story. And you know it's got a story. So I was homeless because I was a drug addict. And I was living with my homeless girlfriend who was a deadhead who used to go on tour with the dead. And I was in weird punk rock bands. And she and I were living in my van that my friend let me park in front of his house and like use his shower and hang out there and stuff. So... But there'd been this party, and we'd actually fallen asleep, probably intentionally, so we could stay, like, you know, be a house dog instead of a porch dog for the night and sleep on his porch or in his living room. Woke up, had sex on the living room floor. We wake up, or no, we look up, and there's two, like, 12-year-old boys looking in our second-story window at us. Like, they climbed up, I guess they heard it out on the street. They trespassed, climbed up on this roof, and were staring in our window. And I jumped up naked and was like, "Get away from me, kid. You're bothering me. Get out of here." You know, probably threw a I think I threw a shoe at the window or something. And they scurried off. And next day, they were out, like, putting potatoes in tailpipes of cars out in front of the house. And I was like, "Hey, why don't you do something useful with your life? We got some musical equipment in my friend's house. Why don't we go in and play some songs?" And they're like, "I don't play." And we're like, "Come on, I'll teach you." And we go in and, like, one of them starts banging on the drums. One of them starts, like, yelling into a microphone and reading the phone book and making stuff up. And they're both, like, 12 years old. Turns out they're both born the same day in the same year, but they're not. They're twins from different mothers. And so
twinsies.
So I start playing bass, which kind of gives it some, like, structure. And then the guy who lived there, his house came in. He came in. Little Mike. You've seen me talk with Little Mike on Twitter. We're still buddies, and he's the guy who told the story about Mike. No, we know him too. He's friends with Little Mike and me. But no, Little Mike is the guy who told the story about the LSD painting of his dad who worked at of the balls flying by his head. That's Mike's dad. So Mike comes in and starts playing guitar. Mike can't play guitar at all. So all of a sudden it sounds like Flipper with a 12-year-old singing. You know, like solid bass playing. Kind of solid but not great drums, horrible guitar, and kind of spirited yelling over it. So that was the birth of the Rolling Scabs. I'll tell the rest of the story at some point. And oh, we're not out yet. Okay, so I thought we were. So I pick up the phone. I call Tim Yohannan, who runs Gilman Street, you know, the punk rock place where you used to have to submit your lyrics to play there. Couldn't be homophobic, racist, whatever. It was PC before there was a term for PC. It was like punk rock run by socialist Nazi feminists. It's where Green Day started and Rancid. So we'll be back to talk about the Rolling Scabs live at Gilman Street EP when we get back from this trip to the market.
Punk-litically correct.
What'd you say?
Punk-litically correct.
Mm-hmm. Did you make that up? I like it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is spreading the message of liberty and peace around the globe worth 15 cents per day to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. Last year, we did a fundraiser that successfully covered the costs of continuing our African channel. This year, we're hoping to raise enough to fund a new satellite signal that will cover Europe, North Africa, and much of the Middle East. You can donate as much or as little as you like via the Indiegogo campaign at fund.lrn.fm. And there are perks available like sitting in on your favorite LRN.fm show, exclusive shiny badges, or even naming a satellite channel. Please contribute now at fund.lrn.fm and help us continue our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. The fundraiser ends August 19th, so please visit fund.lrn.fm today and thank you for your help. That's fund.lrn.fm.
So, Michael, I have a question. I sent you one bit for musical payola to get the residents on air. Yeah. And when I sent you the one bit, it locked 7.699.
It's how CryptoNote obscures amount of transactions. It'll unlock it when it's done.
So now everybody knows that was my transaction then.
Yeah, just don't be mining through the pool for tonight. Just be solo mining if you don't mind. Okay, so talk about the rolling scales.
You, out of the BIP pool.
Yeah, I was telling racist jokes that I heard as a kid in the 70s to you guys. And I'm like, I can tell a joke. I can make people laugh. And these jokes were so not funny. And I'm not like, you guys aren't PC. You could probably laugh at a good, really un-PC joke. And I think you make them most of the time. But these jokes were so bad and stupid that they fell on their face and broke their nose and ended up in the hospital, like me. All right, so that made you laugh a little bit. I got a chuckle.
And then they couldn't get any care. You know why? Because of that Kenyan Muslim Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Yeah, so
don't tread on yourself.
We're back in the late 1980s. So I'm in this band called Bomb, kind of popular, but I'm homeless. And the band Millions of Dead Cops, MDC, who later became me and Little Mike's upstairs neighbor.
I have them on
vinyl. Okay,
Lionel.
Derek J. Yeah, on vinyl. Derek J, hang on. Little Mike and I's. No, it doesn't work. Derek J, no, stay out of my head.
And me.
Yeah, yeah. So me
Normies
and Little Mike.
Get out of my head.
They had a song called Soup Kitchen Celebrity, and I literally, in the real sense of the word, was a soup kitchen celebrity in San Francisco at this time. I was, you know, my band could pack 500 people into a club, and I was homeless, and I was eating at soup kitchens some of the time. All right, so we meet these kids, and they play music with us, and it sounds spirited and cool, and I'm like, hey, hang on, stop, guys, I got an idea. I call up Tim Yohannan, who runs this really happening PC punk rock place called Gilman Street in Berkeley, Oakland, on the border of Berkeley and Oakland. Like, it's a place you get shot, but outside of it. But, you know, thriving owner-run kind of commie PC punk place. So I called Tim Yohannan up. He's dead now. Don't look for him. But Lawrence Livermore is introducing us in one of these songs here. And then one of the scabs kicks him and he goes, ow. People might know. Google Lawrence Livermore, not the Labs, the punk rock guy who ran the first record label that Green Day was on, Lookout Records. Okay, so I call Tim and I'm like, hey, Tim, I'm hanging out with these two 12-year-old boys. Now, actually, Tim kind of had a reputation because that's probably, I never connected this till now. He was probably like, oh, cool. But I said, I'm hanging out with these two 12-year-old boys and we're playing music. And what are we called? And like one of them just said, the Rolling Scabs. And I said, we're called the Rolling Scabs. And here, we want to audition over the phone to play at Gilman Street. And we played for like 10 seconds and then stopped. And I said, hey, so can we play there sometime? Or do you need me to send you a tape? And he's like, how's two nights from now? We had a cancellation. I'm like, cool. He's like, you can open up. I'm like, cool. Because the kids have to be home because they have a curfew at 9 p.m. So we'll play at 7 and get them back by 9. So we played at Gilman Street. And I'm just gonna let the music do the talking. This is I wish I had this. Oh, the other thing was we'd played a couple times together, but we didn't have songs and we didn't have like anything. But on the way over there, Little Mike's girlfriend said, hey, why don't you guys write down a set list, at least make up some song names. And they made up some song names. And when we played, we just went like 1, 2, you're like, okay, this is called My Mom Smokes Pot. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'd play. And I wish we had the best song title was M&M's on my Tonka Toys. We don't have that. But here's My Mom Smokes Pot by the Rolling Scabs live at Gilman Street. And this is an album. You can get this. All right. Hang on a sec.
Can I get it on wax?
Yeah, man, it's on wax.
Last night I had this dream, right? That I was in the Oakland Coliseum and there were all these people screaming my name and they were like paying $1,000 to see us. And that's how I knew it was a dream. My mom smokes pot.
Try. Oh, this.
My mom's yeah. So fun. Get stoned every night. My mom's so fun. Falls asleep on her bed. All she ever does. Lighting that cigarette. Lighting that cigarette.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Okay. Are you solo mining?
I'm just in my own bathtub alone.
I'll try some solo mining tonight.
Splashing around.
Yeah, well, I'm not solo mining.
Well, I'm not. I got the bath ready. I'm not in the bath because I'm doing the radio. And you don't want to mix electronics on radio with bath water.
Yep. All right. So we were talking about my band, the Rolling Scabs. One of these kids actually died when he was about 16. He was like. He and some friends broke into an abandoned house in Connecticut when they were summering in Connecticut. Yeah, it was kind of a nice neighborhood, and there was an elevator shaft, and they were like riding. There was no electricity, but they were like grabbing the ropes and like flying down 3 or 4 flights, and then pulling each other back up and doing it again. And the elevator fell on him, like the elevator car crushed
Holy
him. Yeah. So, and the other kid is a big, big pothead in California now. I actually tried to get, like, I Googled his name.
He's like my
just
mom.
One day. Yeah, I just Googled him one day, and I saw a picture of him. That's him. That's him. And he's, like, in this field of marijuana that he grows in his yard. And this was, like, four or five years ago when it was, you know, not very legal. Not even for medical, but he was like posting it on the internet, and I was making the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and I contacted him, and he's like, hey, dude, what's up? You know, we're talking on the phone. He's like, man, yeah, I remember you, dude. Fuck. Total, like, Spicoli surfer speak. And he lived in, like, Marin, like, north, you know, like, where Spicoli probably existed in the real world. And actually where the actor lives now in Sausalito, Sean Penn. But, So he was such a flaky pothead, like he didn't show up when I sent someone to interview him. He was like, oh, sorry, man, I was supposed to be there, but no, you know, I wasn't in it. So
it's let me play. Also heavy.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you smoke pot in front of your kids.
Yeah.
They write songs about how you smoke pot and then they smoke pot.
Did you hear the one line in there? My mom smokes pot, cocaine, acid, too. It's really quiet.
They got cocaine acid now?
Yeah.
Man, I've been out of the loop so long now. She smokes cocaine
acid, too. All right. So this is the this is our theme song. It's called We're the Scabs. Yeah. It's not playing. I don't know what's up. Man, internet's up.
Is that player not working?
Here we go.
Yeah. And I Grandpa. Would like you to give a warm it's welcome
Lawrence Livermore.
To a beautiful band. Him. Well, almost beautiful, except for a couple of geeks. It's from all the way from San Francisco.
Ow! That's where you got
the Rolling Scabs.
All 10 people there clap. We're the opening band.
Anybody outside? We're playing now. Come in. Yoo-hoo. Everyone in the bathroom, come out. Our first song. Our first song is called We're the Scabs.
Same for a while, so that's
yeah, a YouTube channel three. Too.
We're the Scabs. You're not.
Yeah. We're the Scabs. You're snot.
You're snot.
It's and so these beautiful. Are like, this is so obscure. Like he pressed, little Mike pressed 500 copies of this. I don't think even Jim could find a copy of this on vinyl now. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
What?
You've got it.
I wonder. Hold on. Let me see.
It has 100.
You keep
after
talking.
Like. It's this has been on YouTube for 2 years and it's got 198 views. My cats get more views than that in a weekend. All right. So here's the last song. This is the really un-PC one. It's called Around the World in 80 Seconds.
Found one for $23.
Nice. See? I'm a collector. All right. Here it is. Around the World in 80 Seconds. I may let all of this play, but I'm going to have to ride the fader on this one. Yeah.
Song. We were late.
Oh, he said it's our last song.
Our last song is Around the World in 80 Seconds.
80 seconds.
So in a few months, we're going to be going on a tour. And,
a terror.
First of all, we're probably going to be going to Texas.
Yeah. was like 20 people by that point. I'll steal your girlfriend, he said. All right, gentlemen.
Okay, so I found this vinyl. It's a 7-inch vinyl, and it's
do they take Bitcoin?
No. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if someone wants to buy it for me, I will gladly trade them like some Bitcoin.
That would be awesome. If the pizza problem solving of Bitcoin was a rolling scabs on scab colored vinyl. It is. Yeah. It's yellow vinyl.
Who's singing in this?
Giuliano and Jacob. Look at a picture of them. They're cute.
There's one in existence for sale right now. I'm sure there's more. But there's one in existence. It's being sold by Gene Zimmerman, 58, on Discogs for $23.46 plus shipping and handling. So if someone wants to send it to me, we can negotiate a price, and I'll probably throw in like a Bipcot NoGov slip mat for your turntable. And it glows in the dark, by the way. Yeah. I think it's a fair trade, and whatever Bipcot.
There's so many times where I have coin.
You want to negotiate
where I have my feet.
Do you want this in the notes then, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I post
show notes referenced on air is definitely going on the next bingo board. But I just say,
yeah. You can contact me, but via Lulberts.com, which I also bought the Lulberts.com too.
Miller twice at Lulberts.com. If you have any ask us some sexual questions,
how much BIP will you trade for this?
That's what we're going to need to negotiate. That's why you need to contact me at Lulberts.com. Hit the contact page. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
General show notes, employees.
Guys. Scott, put that in. I'm sending the link, though.
Show notes, Scotty.
Show notes, Scotty. That's on his business card. Show notes, Scotty. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how the pizza problem will be solved. This Jim will get a rolling scabs from the 7-inch. Nice. Yeah, I think that's worth it. Soon I'm gonna have all of the bombs, at least all the Michael Dean vinyl. Well, yeah. Not all of the vinyl, but at least one from each little project that you did. Little projects.
Yeah.
They weren't big projects, were they? That was I didn't mean to be mean, but that's how it came out.
All right, I'm gonna go away for a little bit. I might come back. Have a good time, Worms. Thank you for your service
and thank you for playing The Residents. By the way,
yeah, man.
That might have been like the most amount of thing that they've gotten for a while, which by the way I bought their documentary. They just released a documentary and it's got all kinds of cool things in it, like Les Claypool being interviewed in it, and he talks about how he was accused of being the lead singer of The Residents. That was cool.
There's a lot of we get a lot of documentaries that make their that have their Philadelphia debut at where I work, the venue, and Fat Wreck, the record label, is rolling out a new documentary, and I wasn't there because I was in Oakland when it hit those streets. But I heard it was really good from people that work there, and I generally trust their word over the people that are promoting it. So look for that, the Fat Recumentary.
Oh, they have a documentary about Fat Records? Oh, Fat Records, we were just talking about Fat Mike a little bit. Fat Mike is the lead singer of NOFX, and he's also the bass player for one of my favorite bands ever, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, which is the world's greatest cover band, and I defy you to try to find me a better one. So they made a documentary about Fat Records, and
indeed, it seems they did.
I'll have to check that out.
It made its debut. Fat Recumentary. Look it up.
When we come back, Redemption. Redemption, not Redemption.
Not Rendition. Am I being...
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
I have some redemption. And that was, we were right. We were talking about how Steam It, which is like a platform which allows people to earn money by posting content, was scammy. Well, maybe not scammy, but schemey. It's definitely kind of like a Ponzi type scheme. It's not exactly a Ponzi scheme, but it's more of a horizontal Ponzi scheme where, you know, people with influence can upvote things and you can earn cryptocurrency, which you can then cash out for money or invest in yourself to get more people money if you like it. And there was a article posted on Medium, and I'm going to send it to you, Scott, about how this was launched, and how it was launched was particularly scammy. So when a cryptocurrency is launched, if it has any sort of pre-mine, like over 10%, people go like, oh, this is, you know, this is a pump and dump scheme. And I was calling it a pump and dump scheme because it had 87% pre-mine. But how they pre-mined it was particularly terrible. What they did was, instead of saying like, oh, there's pre-mine, what they did was they just said, no, there's no pre-mine. And then they included instructions on how people can mine this stuff, but they intentionally put wrong information into the mining thing so that people tried, they couldn't go in. So all the developers and all their friends could mine the heck out of it, and they ended up getting 87% the last run. There was like a couple of other times that they launched this coin, and people were figuring it out, like, oh, you had this wrong information, but we figured it out, now we're mining. So they shut that down and then relaunched it again with even more misinformation on how to mine it in the process until they could get 87% of the pre-mine. And someone wrote this article on Medium detailing how they did it. And not only that, but now that those people have all that extra currency, so they're holding that steam power so they can like more stuff, is that they're promoting people like Jeff Berwick and big names so that they could come on and then tell their friends, so that they're intentionally like, it's a multi-level marketing thing where the top people are actually picking and choosing the winners rather than just picking and choosing winners by who can get more uplines. It's an MLM but worse. Told yep. you so. Yeah,
sure enough. Lifter-tarians, I want you to know that if you have a meth head at your gym, tell gym management. They probably don't want meth heads working at your gym. Both my roommate and I got a different person fired from the gym. I, for calling out a meth head, I've been living in Kensington so long I could spot a meth head from a football field's distance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell the way they dance.
I know me a meth head. And this guy kept on, he would like repeatedly like have my profile up. And would like be like, I'm like, nah, not comfortable with this. And went to the gym management, they fired him. And my roommate got a fitness instructor fired because she jumped into the pool with all her clothes on, which I guess she had been warned several times not to do. And she was like, hey, there was a woman that jumped into the pool with all her clothes on. And she goes, and the guy smacked his head. And he was like, oh, I'm pretty sure she's an instructor here. I'm definitely going to have to fire her if that's the case. And then he looked on the cameras. And sure enough, she jumped into the pool with her clothes on. But the current staff there is great. They've got a comedian working the front desk, Ricky Rowe. Rick, if you're listening, I bless your grind. Yeah.
Yep. So there you have it. Is that redemption? Does that count as redemption?
That's redemption. And also, there's a rape scandal that's been flaring up in comedy lately, where it's all about, every woman is a victim, blah, 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 blah. And people are writing things for likes now. And I think that within a year or two, there will be a time where every police precinct just has 1 to 3 people assigned to the different comedy scenes, working the stand-up unit, Law and Order, stand-up victims unit. So if a comedian says something that's triggering, or, someone famous does something awful, then a lot of people are going to be triggered, and you have to have cops there if someone's getting triggered. This is the law of stand-up.
Yeah, just make sure that you post it on Steam It and get those whales to like it.
Get triggered by stand-up, post it on Steam It, get Steam cash, become BIP rich, die happy.
Trade it all in for Bitcoin. BIPcoin.
That's Bitcoin. Yo, you better get in there, you better trade your Steam for BIP now, and then you better bet your BIP on BIP being worth more than Steam on my BIP sportsbook market. That's betting against Steam twice.
Yep. That's some nice redemption, by the way. I'm stuffed.
Yep.
Mayor so we're Beth recording Wahlberg's tomorrow, prepared. Right?
Yeah, we are. So look forward to that on this very same iTunes feed that brought you this show. Or however it is you get this show. Intravenously, I don't know. Works.
Worms.
Yo, I got that worms. I got that Freedom Fiends.